My grandparents, like their parents before them, ran small family farms. And not surprisingly, in North Carolina, those were tobacco farms. My parents, after they had grown up, were glad to be able to make a living in a way different than working in those fields. And I was by far, and I mean by far, the person in my family most removed from that heritage as the youngest child. But I do remember once helping out at the farm of a nearby relative who was from our church. They were stringing the leaves of tobacco on sticks to hang in old-fashioned curing barns. And I was fairly young at the time. I think I was about the same age as my oldest son, Rowan. And my only job was to pick up the loose leaves that fell to the ground and bring them back to the beginning of the line. So I just went around in a big circle all day long. And at the end of the day, we gathered around a pickup truck, and my distant cousin and his wife produced a metal box and proceeded to pay everybody in cash. Now, I don't remember when I got paid, but it was probably last because I had the, you know, least important job. But I do remember that I got paid more than I should have. I could tell because I could look at the face of my relative's wife who was supervising each transaction that happened, and she had a disapproving look on her face when I got handed that cash. Her husband laughed a little and said that it was okay, that it was great that I helped out, and that it was wonderful to have me around. Needless to say, we're not talking about huge sums of money here, but it was more than someone else would have been paid for the same amount of work. I was just a little guy and part of the family, and that's all that mattered at the end of the day. I didn't ask for more. He simply wanted to give me more. And I've never forgotten that act of generosity in the way that his laughter showed his affection for me. Now, that's not exactly what happened in the parable that Jesus told about the vineyard workers, although it is surely a shadow of it. In this story, the owner of a vineyard needs day laborers to bring in his harvest of grapes. And so the owner goes out and hires the first workers at the beginning of the day. And he promises them one denarius, the usual wage for a full day in the fields from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then he goes out at 9 a.m. and hires a second group of workers, and he promises to pay them whatever is right. And still needing to bring in the harvest that day, he goes out again at noon and at 3 p.m. to find even more workers, and he makes the same promise to them. And surprisingly, he also goes out at 5 p.m. and discovers that people are still standing around and waiting to work. And without promising them anything, the owner of the vineyard invites them into his fields. At the end of the day, the work is done, and out comes the money bag, and the vineyard workers are paid in cash, beginning with the last ones hired. The workers hired for the last hour each received one denarius, a full day's pay. Those who labored from morning till evening thought through the heat of the day must have thought they'd received quite a bonus. But they, too, received one denarius. It seems that everyone was paid the same wage, regardless of when they were hired throughout the day. So the first group of workers grumbled against the owner of the vineyard. He reminds them that he paid them what he promised to pay them and that his money is not theirs to distribute. He chose to pay the others the same amount because he wanted to be generous. And no American who has ever heard this parable ever lived happily ever after. The end. We really hate this one, don't we? We really do. You know it. This parable really gets to us because it's not fair, right? It's one thing to hand your little cousin an extra $20 because he's your cousin, but it's quite another thing to pay someone a full day's salary for working only an hour, especially during the harvest when a full day is a 12-hour day. Now, at least in my case, I was there at, around the curing barn as long as everybody else. So I was there as long as anybody else was, and no one called me up to the front of the line when the money box appeared. And even with the extra cash, I wasn't paid as much as the teenagers who stood on the beams inside that barn, roasting as though in an oven. That wouldn't have been fair, even though I was there for the whole day. So the story that Jesus told seems all the more outrageous. The owner of this vineyard obviously didn't earn an MBA from Harvard. If he wanted to do something crazy like this, the least he could have done to minimize the damage to his reputation would have been to pay the first group of workers first and then send them away, and then the second group next and so on. Then everybody would have been happy, including the wacky owner, and no one would have been upset, right? That would have been a much better day for everybody. But the owner of this vineyard, who is God, shows a kind of grace here that unmasks the truth of how we really feel about those we think undeserving. Okay? Whenever we hear this parable, most of us think we're ahead of that last group in the line. Most of us think we deserve more than they do, that we've earned it as a reward for our faithfulness. Most of us think God helps those who help themselves, even though that widely treasured proverb never appears anywhere in the pages of the Bible. Most of us think the last group of workers deserve minimum grace as their minimum wage in God's economy. And that's the truth. Most of us don't understand how these feelings would come back to haunt us if we knew where we really stood in that line. So I think it's important to shift the context for hearing this controversial parable. And I have to say, there's some pretty creative ways to hear this story differently. One is a later rabbinic interpretation of this same story. This interpretation has an interesting twist at the end that's worthy, I think, of any Houstonian business person who did earn an MBA from Harvard. In this version, those hired last earned the same amount of money as those hired first for a very specific reason. This wasn't in the details. There was no footnote about this, but it's because they accomplished the same amount of work. Okay? In other words, they were simply more efficient, and the owner of the vineyard paid his workers according to a project rate rather than an hourly rate. And had the first group of workers been paid more than one denarius, the last group of workers would have been justifiably outraged. Like, that's really how you work this out. Now, this interpretation is appealing to us because it restores truth, justice, and the American way to this economic tale. But what if you take all the money out? Erase money from the story, okay? My wife, Carrie, once found herself in a group of women who were discussing this same passage, and it was Carrie who came up with the famous cake analogy to change the way we hear this story. Imagine, she suggested, that the scene was a party instead of a vineyard, and people were invited to the party at different times throughout the day, and everyone enjoyed the hospitality of the owner of the house. And at the end of the day, the owner's personal chef brought out a beautiful cake, huge, beautiful cake. If every piece of cake served was the same size, would you be upset? Would you give those who came later a smaller square, or maybe just a tiny little bite on a little fork if you came in at the last minute? Another woman then pointed out that if someone had gotten, say, stuck in traffic, and missed most of the event, missed most of the celebration, you'd probably give that person a bigger piece of cake. Think about that. How outrageous is that? Have you ever considered the possibility that we're all a little late to the party? While waiting for an invitation into the vineyard, have you ever felt as though your place was slipping toward the back of the line? Whenever there's turmoil on Wall Street or the price of oil never really goes back to where it was? Do you feel that way when you're under extra stress from a job that you don't really like? Or because you're dealing with children who can't wait to escape from your embrace by fleeing to Manhattan or Alaska? There are lots of circumstances in this life, and you know what they are for you, that bring about a heaviness of heart over the fact that we didn't get there earlier, that we're, for some reason, not closer to the front of the line. Have you ever thought about the fact that our group of workers, the people we were hanging out with, the people called Christians, have been invited into the vineyard at the last hour, included in the larger story of Israel, grafted into the true vine, Christ, who gives life to all of us? Have you ever considered the possibility that this is outrageously good news for you? That God is not fair but generous means that you can hope to make it through the doors even if you find that you're the last person who's standing in the line. And what you discover here at Palmer when you make it through these doors on a Sunday morning is that we're all standing in the midst of God's generosity, of God's grace and goodness toward all of us. We stand with Christ, who sought out the last, the least, and the lost, assuring us that we will never be forgotten, no matter how far we slip to the back of the line. And it's never too late to receive an invitation. So come to the party at this table today. Amen.